Hello, and welcome to the Lost Horror Podcast, in my full-on robot voice. as usual, joining me is my co-host, Eric Sayor.
Hello.
And I am your main host, Arlen Haro. Co-host, whatever. Terms, I don't care about them. throws the scarf away. This is an impromptu episode. We came up with a concept very last minute, as in last night, so that's last minute as far as I'm concerned.
This is probably also the episode the closest to when we will release it, so
yeah,
it's a timely episode. So if we talk about something, it's because it's new and it actually will be this time.
Yeah, and it occurred to me as I was thinking about doing this one, it kind of fits with the episode we released last week, because Dressed to Kill, there was a, you had some problems with the transsexual way, or the way that they dealt with that transsexual character, just that whole idea in general, I guess, and it kind of leads into the idea for this episode, which is, other people have talked about this, so I figured, why not? Movies with individual scenes that we don't like very much. This is for a multitude of reasons. For me, a lot of times, it just doesn't fit with the rest of the movie. Feels incongruous, among other things.
Yeah, a lot of time it's just that. It just doesn't fit, or it feels like useless, or it actually drags the movie down.
Yes.
The worst thing is to watch a movie and be super into it, and then a movie drags on, a scene really drags on, or like there's a bad performance or something, and it gets you completely out, and you're never thinking about how slow this movie is going, and it completely ruins your experience.
Yeah. And we might go a little loose. One of mine is actually a sequence, I'm realizing, but it works. It fits. I figured we'll take turns. And since you have more, how about we start with whichever one you want to go with?
Yeah, I want to start with one that's like, it's less than a scene, more it's a shot. It's like so quick that you almost miss it, but you don't because it's so like jarring.
Right.
And it's from a movie we've talked about multiple times because we both love it. It's from Mad Max.
Oh.
And it's just the scene in between the end of the car chase and the ending of the movie, the transition between those scenes that's done through a really bad 3D special effect. I don't know if you remember.
It's like
the car, Immortal Joe's car crashes.
Yep.
And I think it's the driving wheel that ends up like in 3D in your face. And I really, really hate that scene every time I watch this.
Here's the thing. I totally get that. I think I hate it for a different reason, which is I know that that's CG and it's so obviously CG. I think that's why I don't like it, but yes.
No, exactly. It's like the whole movie feels real and tangible, and it's all practical with very little CG to hide what is practical.
Right.
But that scene is all CG, all made to watch it in 3D in theaters.
Yep.
I watched it in 3D in theaters, and I saw that thing coming at my face, and I was like, why am I seeing that?
Right.
Then you watch the movie not in 3D and it looks even worse because you see the fake 3D of that scene.
Yes, it's very unnecessary. It didn't need to happen. It's the kind of thing that in any other movie it would get cut. someone would be like, yeah, we don't need this, but I want the effect shot, and I want the visual of it. And it's like, no, George, we don't need this. This is unnecessary. But he's George, and he was in Africa when he made the movie, so nobody can stop him.
nothing can stop him.
No, nothing, nothing. Now he's getting sued over it. What do you know? Yeah, no, that's a great way to start off, actually, because yeah, that's one of the scenes that I remember from that movie most.
Yeah, it's like... yeah, exactly. Like, I was trying to think about my favorite movies of the last few years. And then I just landed on that particular scene, and it's,
yeah,
it's the worst part by far of that film. Because other than that, it's almost perfect.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. Let's see, which of mine should we go to? So this is one from a movie that you would imagine would have a lot of these. Depending on your mileage, the film Hateful Eight. Just, your head is probably spinning right now. Like, what thing is it? What part of it? But it is. I don't like the death in the shed in the flashback. With the I don't know what his job is, but I can never remember his name. But the character of Gage. He walks to behind the haberdashery, and he just shoots this guy. And I've never liked that scene very much. I never really liked the use of the music in that scene. I thought, for Tarantino, I was like, come on. Really? QT, you can do better. I expect more from you. I expect a deeper, more interesting pulse from you. And I just don't like the way that that scene really plays out. And for a movie that is... grotesque in parts, it's unnecessary. I know I'm saying that. I think that comes after Samuel L. Jackson reveals what he did, but still,
because that's the scene I would have picked out of that movie.
Yeah, it's a contender. I'm not saying no, it's not,
because it's not like honestly, I have to say I don't even remember the scene you're talking about, because I haven't seen that movie since it came out in theater. I haven't been like compelled to. Like, I liked it fine when it came out. I thought it was pretty good, but I haven't.
Interesting. That's one of my go-to watch in the background movies.
Okay. Yeah. I like waiting before I rewatch films, like waiting a couple years and then going back to them. I think it's...
that's a good idea, actually. Yeah.
I'm not a big rewatcher in general, so that's how I like to do it. Mm-hmm. But the Samuel L. Jackson scene is so... like... so much.
Yes.
It's just so much. And you don't, it could have been, you know, good,
right,
or all right if it just wasn't as completely extravagant as it is, as like Tarantino just like masturbating on screen, you know.
Right. I mean, it gets pretty close to that, honestly. Like, I mean, I don't know. That movie, to me, rewatching, I'm like, okay, this is the movie of a crazy man who everybody knows that he's crazy, but they're like, but if we just let him go full crazy, we will make all of the money. So let's just do that.
Like, people will talk about that scene and go see the movie just because it is in it.
Right. That's true. And also, like, I'm like, well, what made QT decide that this is what I want to put in my movie, and what made me think this is all right? And I keep going back to his comparison of Confederates being equivalent to Nazis in his head. And I'm not saying that they aren't. I'm not saying that they aren't. But I'm like, okay, maybe that's why. Because he would definitely do this to a Nazi in a movie. I could definitely see him doing the same scene. In Hateful Eight, in Glorious Bastards, but like it got cut or something. Yeah, I don't know. That movie's just very. There's a lot of stuff that anybody could be like, I don't like that scene because it doesn't work with the rest of the movie. But I don't know, that scene that I thought of, it bothered me. A lot of the music stuff in that movie, to me, aside from the score, the music just holding it up against the Tarantino standard of his ability to find interesting music to place with his scenes, I think the music in that movie is kind of lackluster. Just for
You don't
him.
like the score?
No, the
Or just
score I like, the rest of it.
The choice of
Yes, all of
actual
it, really.
soundtrack,
Yeah, all of
yeah.
his pulls in that movie, I'm like, this is your weakest one as far as that is concerned,
Yeah.
probably. Like even Jackie Brown is stronger. That's saying a lot about Jackie Brown. All right. Let's go to your next one.
Okay, my next one is from a classic, a scene you may have, or you'll definitely agree with me. I think it's from Blade Runner.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
It's this scene when the rape scene,
Yeah.
like.
Yeah. I didn't put it on my list because I was like, maybe Eric's going to put it on his list. But because, like, oh, that's. And here's the thing, I watched that movie in a theater with my younger brother, and I was very uncomfortable almost immediately because I hadn't watched the movie in a while.
Yeah, me neither. And I rewatched it like just before 2049 came out with my girlfriend, and we were just both like, "What the fuck is this scene?"
Yeah. And 2049 is makes it even worse because it has a scene that is arguably really like sex positive. Like it has one of the most like empowering sex scenes, I would argue. I mean, I'm sure other people have argued it as well. The scene with with the replicant and the hologram, the synchronization scene. That scene makes the scene with Rachel even worse somehow. So yeah, like that scene is just, it doesn't, it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, because like the specific scene in 2049 is all about like love and desire and consent and like everything you want in a to make a scene feel like something. Like something you enjoy watching, like you enjoy. It feels like it's just rape, and in the most like basic sense. And I don't understand it. It's
And it's light enough rape that you have people who are like, that's not rape. And that's the worst kind of rape, at least on screen, as far as I'm concerned. Like the fact that there are people that can kind of deny it, it adds some legitimacy to it in a weird way, I guess. Or not legitimacy, what's the word I'm looking for? I'll figure it out later, but it adds something to it that shouldn't be there, the sense of like, this is okay because it's light. And it's not like the movie Irreversible or whatever. I don't know where I pulled that out, but you know, a movie where you know the entire point of the movie is that you see somebody get graphically assaulted in that way, and that's just the point of the movie. I believe that's a Gaspar Noé film. We will not be doing an episode on him. I'm sorry. That's my veto. No, thank you. Not happening.
Understandable. Although I haven't seen any of his films, I have to say.
I think we're better off. That's a really good pick, and it leads nicely into one of my other picks. And this is another scene. This is a scene that's like famous for this, actually. Skyfall. One of the better James Bond movies of the last few years. One of my personal just like favorite movies to just watch in the background. I've talked about it before, I just do that. And I love James Bond, so you know, all the things add up. But there's one scene that I just do not like. Very similar context, actually. And it's with a character named Severine. And she goes through everything that is kind of typical of a Bond movie. She's a bad girl, and she helps Bond once, and she gets killed. And that's not the part of the movie that I don't like. It's that when we first meet this character, we learn that she was a Chinese sex slave. That's what Bond realizes about her by seeing like a tattoo on her arm or something like that. And then after this big action scene in this casino, he sneaks onto the boat that she is on, and he just joins her in the shower, and he comes up right behind her, and he just starts going at it with her. It's not a good scene. I'm yeah.
It's so old, James Bond. Like, the kind you don't want anymore. I thought when you started talking about Skyfall, I immediately went to Spectre, the Monica Bellucci scene. That's also super bad. And I just hope they're done with doing that.
And I think the problem with that scene for me, probably one of the biggest problems for that scene for me, is that's the kind of scene that you would expect to be in the older movies, but even they didn't necessarily go that far. Like the closest that they got to that is like Roger Moore tricks a girl he tricks a girl into betting her virginity on a game of cards. That's about as close as it gets. And yeah, it's but that's like and that was in the 70s. That was in 1973.
It wasn't in 2012.
Right, and it's like yeah, but that's a scene that I can't get into in Skyfall. Every time it happens, I'm like, skip. Skip past this because
No,
I don't like it. It makes me feel wrong.
and I feel like it's so easy to make something like James Bond still feel like sexy, but make it like consensual and show the desire both ways, and then you make for a scene that feels way more in line if in what you want to watch.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. And actually the Monica Bellucci scene, it's rather tame compared to that. And also like there's the aspect of she's older than him in that scene. I don't know, something about that makes it feel less creepy, 'cause any scene where it's like a 60-year-old man hitting on like a 20-year-old, that always makes me feel a little bit wrong. And that's always been if I have a like a major problem with Bond, it is that like just the franchise as a whole. But yeah. Okay, I do want to go to your next one.
Okay, let's keep talking about sex because we, I guess that's an episode about bad sex in movies. But that's, I will go. I realize that two of my other ones have. Okay, I want to talk about a sex scene that starts out great, and that's exactly what I was talking about. Desire both ways and consent, and it's good and it's sexy, and then it goes on and it goes on, and then you get uncomfortable, and then it still goes on for like a few more minutes, and it never ends. I'm talking about the Handmaiden, which is like one of my favorite films of the last few years. My favorite film of, I think, 2015, 16, whenever year it came out. I love The Handmaiden. It's like Park Chan-wook making like really great storytelling. Like it takes like the Tarantino, like don't do a film in a structure, in a non-sequential structure, and make it fit perfectly, and it does it even better. And but that scene when they're having like sex for like 5 minutes, I think it at least it felt like 5 or 10 minutes, and thematically it fits, I think, really well in the movie, because it's a movie that's so critical of those old voyeur old mans that just like watching her read sex stories, and it's like these guys are really disgusting and deserve to die, and they have no redemption. And then you're watching that scene and you're like, oh yeah, that's a pretty good scene, and you become one of those guys.
Yeah, this
But
is a yeah.
it's still like super male gazey. It has like some, it's too much, it's way like it could have been the same and been like half as long, and I think I would have been way more comfortable. And I think it comes from very much for me that it's a male director, and it feels like a male director shooting lesbian sex scenes, and which is different, which would be way different if it was a lesbian woman shooting a similar scene. I think it would have been done more, I think, tastefully. But like, it's not that bad because, like I said, it fits thematically with the whole like criticism of perversion. Not like it's both like a celebration of like sex and a criticism of the perversion you're having because you're watching that film, but in the end, it's just like too much. That's
Yes, I agree with all of this. I'm trying to remember. There's a lot happens in that movie, but if it's the scene I'm thinking of, I tuned out during that scene because I was like, okay, can this get going? Can this can this
yes, because yeah, at the start you're like, yes, you're so happy because they're finally doing it and you know they're in love and you know it's great. No, I don't think you know they're in love yet. I think you're just like, oh yes, finally, like all that sexual tension that leads somewhere. And but then it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And you're just like, come on, what will just give me something else. Or give me more out of that scene. Give me more than just sex. Give me more than just porn.
Cut to the octopus or something. Like, I don't know. Like, at least there would be some interesting like subtext there, but
And
no.
it reminded me of one scene also, of something else I didn't like in a movie I loved, which is in Call Me by Your Name. The movie cuts out immediately as soon as they're having sex. Like in a way that feels like, oh yeah, you don't have to see that part. Not like it could have lingered. I don't, have you seen it yet?
No, still have not seen
Okay. Watch Call Me by Your Name, please.
I will at some point, someday in the future. It's just,
It's really,
I
really
know, I believe you. I will see it.
Yeah,
It's
okay.
just
But yeah. Yeah, it's like they spoiler, they do have sex eventually. But when they do, it just the camera turns away to the window and the scene cuts and it goes back to them after the sex. And like it's done in a way that's like, oh, it's very much this time a straight man directing a gay, directing that scene, and he's like, oh yeah, I don't have to watch it, or and you don't have to watch it, and it feels like it should have been like it starts out really passionately and it could have just gone on that momentum instead of just cutting away.
Yeah, and I think if there wasn't precedent, like you see a lot in Brokeback Mountain. Like you see him lick his hand to make things smoother, to say the least. So like there's a lot of detail. I think that's part of it also. That scene, I probably remember it more because there are so many details. But yeah, like I think that kind of precedent makes it harder to accept when they just cut away.
Even like Moonlight, that scene at the beach feels like so real and it lasts, it never cuts away because it doesn't have to. It's like it's a very like personal and erotic scene for both of those characters, but it doesn't never feels like it has to stop.
All right. Do we want to go to my next one? Oh no, my computer's going haywire. No. No, let's go to another one of yours then, because
Okay, let's get away from the sex and talk about Harry Potter. And that 19 years later scene at the end of the last film. Do you remember? You know, when they're all grown up.
No,
When they
God,
look
no.
exactly the same, and it's like, oh yes, here are my kids. They're called every name you remember from the series.
I blocked that out. It's so bad.
It's also in the books, and you should have cut that for the movies.
Right.
They messed up.
Also, in the context, this is a movie that they split into two pieces.
Yes.
That scene didn't need to be there. God damn it. Yeah.
We're gonna do Harry Potter at some point because I love those movies.
Right.
Even those, I don't understand which one people like and don't like of the last two, but I like both.
I like the first one because it's like a Western.
Yeah,
So, like.
the first one is a Western, and the second one is the conclusion is just a fantasy action film, and I just like seeing wizards fight,
Yeah. Yeah, I
you
mean, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? This is very reasonable to me.
And I want to do like I definitely want to do those movies later this year probably, but for now I fucking hate that ending. In the books it sucks, and then you feel like you have to do it again, and it's like two times worse because it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Just fucking give normal names to the kids.
That's also here's the thing, I like the Star Wars films, but why is his name Ben? What is that? Makes no sense. His name shouldn't be Ben. That's not one of my picks, but still, why? I don't understand this at all. Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, for all Han Solo and Obi-Wan Kenobi had no relationship,
No, they didn't like
and
each other.
no, and Leia I've never met.
No, they didn't. That's the thing. It's here's the thing. The only answer to that is Luke was with them when they were giving birth, and he's like, you should really name him Ben. And they're like, why? We didn't know him. I don't know.
It's the reason they met.
Yeah, I guess.
But you just made me question so much of my first enjoyment of that film, because when he screams Ben, when Han Solo screams Ben, I felt shook, entirely shook, because it's such a powerful scene, and just using that name. Ugh. And now I'm like, yeah, it's completely ridiculous that his name is Ben.
It would make more sense if his name was Lobot or Lando. Or
Bosk.
who's the name of the
Oh.
robot from Solo Star Wars story? Fucking
Sweet.
L3, anything would make a, there are so many things that would make more sense. R2D2, all of these things would,
Akbar.
Jabba. If he had named his son Jabba, I'd be like, that's a weird choice, but I respect that. I respect that pick. Players like, I choked a Jabba once, I can do it again. Leia was a very a passionate mother, I'm sure. Let's go to another one of my picks. Unless you have, or did we actually discuss yours? And I forgot where we were going, what we were doing.
We both agree that it sucks, and epilogues in movies generally aren't necessary. And in this case, the story closes so well, and it serves nothing.
Right,
It's just like,
epilogues.
oh yeah, we got married in the same couples as in the book, and we had kids, and we named them all the same fucking name, and that's about it. And we look very, very bad.
In a world where Marvel is much bigger now, that would have been a post-credit scene. If that movie had come out later. That would definitely be something that you didn't have to watch during the movie, and that you but you would wait for. And I think it would actually work better. But also, it's really badly done. The makeup is not good. And also, and I guess that's more interesting now to think about, is a couple years later, it would have been Weta or something like that. It would have been face replacement or something like that. And that would be way more interesting and probably look much better than I'm assuming that it was makeup, because it does not look good at all. Like,
Like, you know what it feels like? It feels like they wanted to cut it, and then J.K. Rowling said, "No, you can't cut it." And at the
right.
last minute, they just got like a day of shooting more just to do the makeup, shoot that scene, and go home.
Definitely. All right, that's good. And since we sort of veered off into Star Wars, that leads into my next pick. I don't like the casino planet that I can't name that I don't know the name of, because fuck that planet. Fuck that whole sequence. I don't like the okay, I do like the design of the fog ears. I don't like how they look most of the time when they're not like an obvious robot. When they're CG, they look bad. There's one shot of them like under the moon that looks kind of cool, and the rest of it is really boring. And every time I watched the movie in a theater after the first time, I went to the bathroom during that scene because I was like, I can go away.
Which part don't you you don't like the chase scene at the end, or you don't like the whole thing?
I don't care about anything that's going on except for when Benicio is there. Every moment he's there, and like there are a couple like bits where I really get into the design. Like, I'm like, oh, that design is really cool. I like that the guards are very prequel. Like, they are straight out of the prequels.
It's a whole scene out of the prequel.
Yeah.
Like, all of it.
Yeah,
except
definitely.
Benicio's character.
Like, and I do like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's cameo because that's nice. But just that scene is just like, it's a really big distraction, and it slows the movie down. And it's a scene that I think for a lot of people, it ruined the movie for them completely. And I think that if that scene were shorter in some way, or if it was in some way better done, there would be people that wouldn't hate the movie as much as they do. and as we know, there are a lot of people who despise that movie, as we've learned, and as we
But the one
continue to
thing,
learn.
I'm sure kids love that fucking chase scene through the
Yeah.
city.
Yeah, I
I'm
bet.
100% sure.
Yeah, that's their never-ending story. They're like, that's their Falcor. Yeah, like probably. And I get it.
Because I love the scene when Finn and Rose are talking, and he's just like, "Whoa, this place is incredible." And she's like, "You're not even looking. It's fucking awful.
Right.
These people are ruining the galaxy to make more money, and capitalism fucking sucks. And they're even mistreating animals. Just like the it has both simple moral you can show
Yeah.
kids, the animals are mistreated, these people are bad, and it has the wider theme of fucking war is caused and profited by capitalism is one of the major causes of war, and people make so much money of it and just live this fucking life while you're all dying for barely any rights. And I love that. I love having that in Star Wars, and I for me it wasn't like it's never. I find it just hilarious that they're just get in prison because of a parking ticket.
Yeah.
It's really funny. I get the CGI things. I get that it's like, oh yeah, it's but it's still a movie that made for kids,
Right.
made for everyone, and having a part that's just so obviously childish and just a fun thing to watch. I don't like I don't need Star Wars to be wholly serious.
Right. I get that. It's just like
Yeah, no, I get it can ruin the it really does slow down the pacing because everything else is so tight in terms of time, and you really can't, you just want to see Rey become a Jedi. But for me, thematically, it's very
Right.
Worth it, and it's like one of the rare times that a Star Wars movie is trying to say something. And it does it, for me, it does it really well. It does deliver that message well, and it delivers it like universally.
Yeah, I do like what it tries to do. I just don't necessarily like the execution. So, but
Like that first time I watched the movie, I didn't analyze anything. I was just like, you're just on a train ride watching the favorite your favorite thing in the world, and there's nothing that can like make or break. There's nothing bad about that experience, and it's the same for like most Marvel films I watch. But then the second time I watch it, I get it, but I don't feel about it the same way at all.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it does like really slow down the film and feels a bit out of place, but I like that it's there. Like, it's not worse than the worm scene at the middle of Empire.
I mean, that's true. There's,
It's like
there's
it's not worse than some like Ewok stuff in like Jedi.
I like all Ewok stuff, so I don't know what you're talking about, sir. I don't know
The scene
what
where, just when like C-3PO is a god, it's not worse than that.
We're gonna have to agree to disagree on Return of the
Like, I love Return of the
Jedi,
Jedi. But I'm just saying, like,
I know, I know, I know.
every Star Wars film has some stupid
Right.
stuff
Well, no,
that feels
yeah.
like kind of just dumb and funny and for kids,
Yes.
and I don't think it makes that movie any worse. Or I think it makes the movie as a whole a
Yeah.
better thing.
Yeah, because like as an adult, the trash compactor doesn't really work for me anymore.
Those puppet tentacles aren't
Yeah.
really doing it.
The donuts like taped to like a to like latex or something. Yeah, that doesn't work as well. No, but yeah, that's you make some good points, sort of. I think I can break it down into there being a couple different aspects of that sequence that I don't like. I do I but I do agree with you. Like, I like the message, and I think that, but I'm able to separate it from that because they keep on that message. Like, they don't leave it there. It doesn't stay there. It goes on into the rest of the movie. So I guess I sort of like I dissected a little bit and I just cut out the parts that I like and I ascribed them to other things and just
Like, make that chase scene like a minute instead of five. And then you have like, and then it works.
Right. Like, I get it. You shot in Dubrovnik and like you had to shoot in between Game of Thrones, and you had to be like, how do I shoot this and how do I make it look good, but I don't shoot the castle from Game of Thrones and make it obvious this is Dubrovnik. I get that, I understand that, but it's like, can you maybe be a little bit more sparing with how much time you spend there? I know it was hard to get it, but can you maybe be a little bit more, thoughtful about what you use? That's
Did it feel like I was ready to defend
it did seem
that
like it because
scene?
you were ready.
I wasn't for this specific episode, but I knew we were gonna have that talk at some point. So,
I mean, that's fair. I mean, at
like, no,
some point
but
we're gonna talk
I
about
did,
Infinity War on here, so I mean, yeah.
but I did really try to dissect it and like, why do I like it and people don't? And I see both, but I just like it.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. Again, like, that's the only scene I don't like. I want to be clear on that.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
I
Fucking
love that movie so much. And the more, here's the thing, the more other people hate it, the more I like it.
Yes.
That's how I'm feeling about it. Like, fuck you. Luke turns into a fucking cloud of dust at the end. Go fuck yourself. This is fucking awesome. The fucking Two Suns music comes back. Yes, that's me. That's my jam. So like, the fact that there's a scene in there that I don't like is, it's like, that's cool. That's
Yes,
fine.
it's kind of normal, I think, at this point, to see a blockbuster and like, oh yeah, that scene.
Yeah. Do we really need the Hulk jumping onto that airplane? Is that really necessary? yeah, that kind of stuff. But it does lead to some of the funnier shots. All right, let's go to one of your other picks.
My last pick is from Lost in Translation. The scene with the escort, the Japanese escort, that comes into Bill Murray's room, and is that ends up being like very bad physical comedy and kind of racist, and it's just like,
Oh.
why is that scene there? Why am I watching
I think I've forgotten this scene because
that? Like she has a very like a classically like kind of racist bad Japanese accent in English that's like mixing the R's and the L's, and it's and she's like come touch me, look at my legs, they're great, and look, I'm falling down, and then she drags him with her, and it's just so cringeworthy and uncomfortable for like Bill Murray and for us, and it's not needed and it serves nothing in the story. No, it's just there because I don't know, Sofia
Right.
Coppola wanted the comedy bit but ended up with a racist bit instead.
Just want to let you know, I'm looking this scene up on YouTube. It's
Yeah.
labeled as Lost in Translation, funniest scene. So,
Have you seen Lost in
have
Translation?
seen it, but this is a scene that I completely forgot about.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it like, I don't remember this. I don't remember this at all. I must have seen a different version of the movie, but.
You kind of like bar that scene from your memory. I watched it like a few months ago, so I remember it very like clearly and how in all its awfulness.
Right.
But there's not much to say. It's just like a really bad kind of comedy bit that's not very funny.
Yeah, without any audio, I'm like, this is not good. This is not, there's no good timing here. I don't understand what she's doing with the legs or whatever. It's not good. Oh, they knocked over a lamp. Okay. Oh, that's a real kicker. I need to rewatch this movie, I guess, because I did not remember that at all. But yeah, like when you compare it to scenes like when he's doing the commercials, like those scenes are so.
Yes.
They're so funny, and they have something relevant to say, kind of.
Like it builds that character, but that scene is just like, yeah, someone got him a prostitute, he didn't want her, and he's like stuck with it, and it's just degenerates in like the
Right.
most awkward possible scene in a movie that shouldn't be this awkward. It shouldn't be, the movie should never be more awkward than Bill Murray's character.
Right.
But that scene is.
That's a solid rule right there that we should all obey. No one should ever be more awkward than Bill Murray's character. Yeah, no, that's a good pick if I had remembered
No,
it.
but seriously, you have an awkward character in the
Right.
film that's there and has that like thing. You can't make the movie feel more. We can't make a scene feel more awkward than him because they're just like. Fucking make me want to disappear in my chair and not in a good way.
Yeah, and also like that's a movie that, despite the fact that it is very navel-gazy about Japan, like nobody in that movie is ridiculous. They're just Japanese.
Yeah.
They're reacting how a Japanese person would react, and just from watching that scene without any audio, it felt very exaggerated compared to a movie that is very kind of subtle and, pulled back to some degree. It doesn't really go for satire so much as sort of like, well, that's a strange thing that just happened, but what else? Bill Murray's gonna roll with the punches. Yeah, that's a good pick though. Very good pick. So that leads us to the final scene that I have on my list. We could keep going if we come up with something else. And this one's a little different because it's a scene that's just, it's too good at what it's supposed to be doing. And it is from one of my favorite movies, probably like top two, The Thing. And it's, I just need to say The Dogs, I think, for people to know what I'm talking about. I can't watch the dog scene past a certain point. I can't watch it past the point where the dog becomes a prosthetic dog. Yeah, that's just too, it's too affecting for me. And not even on a terror level, of more of like a, I can't stand to see these dogs go through this because it's too convincing and it feels too real. And I just have a very, I have just weird feelings about dogs and like seeing dogs in pain. So like that's a scene that I just can't sit through. And I love the, I love this movie. Like, and I'll tell people who can't get past the dog scene, yeah, you have to skip the dog scene because the dog scene is a little too much in a movie that I absolutely adore.
Yeah, I'm watching the dog scene right now because I think like you said, I cut that scene from my memory. I only watched the thing like once, like because of your adamant recommendation. But yeah, oh my God. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's yeah, don't want to watch that scene. Leave the dogs alone.
It's like, and it's really that it just cuts too late. Like, it could have cut earlier and it could have been a little bit less. There could have been less on screen of what was happening. So yeah, like, and it's, again, it's one of my favorite films ever made, but it's just like, I can't, yeah, I can't do it. So yeah, that's all I have from my list. I didn't think of anything else since we came on here, though, so.
I have another one that I came up just because of this one, and I think I just accept it and I got used to it because I watched this movie so many times. But for the first like 5 or 10 times I watched that film, I had to like stop looking and just like it's from Hot Fuzz at the end when Timothy Dalton's character is. His chin ends up on the pointy end of the church of the and it pierces him, and you like I can just talking about it makes me feel it, and it's
Yeah,
oh,
it's unnecessary to say
and
the
like it's
least.
really really much, and I kind of like I got like I said I got used to it, and I'm like I care less about watching gore. I don't have as much nightmare when I watch horror now. Like, I really got used to that particular scene, but it makes me feel wrong still.
That one does remind me of one, and it's from a movie, again, it's a movie that I really like, and it's Green Room. And there's one kill in that movie that I can't handle, and I might, remind me if I'm misremembering it or not, but there's a character who, you learn that he's not as much of a Nazi as the other Nazis, and he tries to help them get out. And he ends up getting a shotgun blast to the face, and they hold on his face after the blast for far too long. And I guess that's just really a moment, but like, it really stuck with me. It's like, that was unnecessary. We did not need to see that in a movie that's full of like just crazy gore. I thought that scene, that moment was just like too much. In a movie that I otherwise really, really enjoy. And I think the violence is earned in most of those scenes. Maybe they could have, maybe there are some scenes where the dogs are tearing people apart that are a little bit too much, but not really. It's, for the most part, I think it really works. So yeah, I don't know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's just on the limit of how much gore I can handle in a film. Like, it's almost too much, but I like, yeah, okay, it's all right. I really, really like Green Room when I watched it, and it's, yeah, it's almost there. I don't remember any particular. Does his arm gets cut off, right?
Someone's arm gets cut off. Yeah,
Yes.
somebody's arm does get cut off. Yes.
Yeah, no, that's the one that I was like, oh.
Oof. There are some brutal parts of
Yeah,
that
like
movie.
it's a really brutal film.
Yeah, but then you have kills like, I really like that Patrick Stewart's death is a dog, right?
Yeah.
That's fucking great. Like the dogs that he created to kill others kill him. That's great. I love that. I love that, I don't think that the slicing of the guy's stomach earlier in the movie, I don't think that was too much. I think that they showed just enough of that before that became too much, and there are plenty of other scenes like that where it's like there's just enough there. And that but then there are a couple where I'm like, but I get it, like you gotta if you put a couple in there that are maybe a little bit too much, it makes the other ones more acceptable, I guess. So from that point of view, I guess it's fine. But yeah. So some of those don't really work with me. Yeah. All right. I think it was a good show. Unless did you come up with any others while we're
No, not really. I
Yeah.
think there's that sex scene in Inherent Vice that's just too much also.
I
But
don't remember that. I don't.
yeah, no, it's just it just comes out every time I think about that film and I really liked it. It just flashes me this scene where they were when he has sex with the girl on the couch, and
Right.
it's just like very like
Yeah.
I probably just remember that scene empty of any context, and I'm like, yeah, why does that stick with me so much? I need to
Yeah.
rewatch Inherent Vice, actually. That's
Clearly.
my conclusion.
That's a good conclusion. Everybody should go rewatch Inherent Vice.
Yeah, good ass movie.
God, such a good movie.
Can't wait to
Yeah.
do like some Paul Thomas Anderson on this show.
That'll be interesting to say the least. All right. I think we're good.
Yeah, a shorter episode, but I think
Yeah.
we do with what we have this week. We'll be back to probably De Palma next week, so
Yeah. So look forward to that. Plugs, I guess I will go first. Phantom Zone every week. We're really busy right now. We're still gonna be busy for a while. Expect like 3 episodes a week here real soon because there's too much stuff.
You have what, The Incredibles this week, Ant-Man coming up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Incredibles is gonna have to wait for a little bit, but yeah, we also have a lot of TV stuff. We have to finish up Legion, Cloak and Dagger had a pilot. It's just too much. But yeah, so look
All
forward to that.
television, all TV is comics now.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the
Luke Cage is coming up.
yep. Yeah, and we
You
also have
know what
Preacher
I
coming
mean.
up. But yeah. Phantom Zone, listen to the After Darks. If you're like, I don't like comic book stuff, well, that's fine because we talk about comic book news, so go do that.
And the horror movies.
Yeah.
That recent one talking about recent horror films is really
Yes.
good.
Yes, because Lou hadn't seen a horror movie in the last 10 years, and we had to educate him.
Like everything he was saying, I'm like, oh yeah, this movie does that, this movie does that. I don't even watch a lot of horror films. I watch like every third one you recommend.
Right. I mean, that's how most people should be, probably, but yeah. plugs for you, I guess.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at Isayur, and I don't think I have any. Go watch a movie in theaters. Like a movie you've never heard about.
That's a
But not a
good.
bad movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
Well.
look up like reviews in general, and if it has like pretty good reviews and you haven't heard about it, just go watch that. Go watch like The Rider. Go watch like
Right.
First Reformed.
Right. If it's still in your theaters, I was never not. Or I was never here? I was
You were
never
never
here.
really
You were
here.
never really here. Yeah,
Oh yeah,
that's.
go watch that. That is an
Yes.
incredible film. That's like the best movie of the year
Yeah.
for I've seen.
If it's still there for you, go watch it. It's got some Thief vibes, so as you can probably guess, I really liked it.
We'll talk about it a lot at the end of the year.
Yep. Probably in our pre-Oscar race predictions thing. Yeah. Alrighty. This has been your Los Haro for the week. Bye.